This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. On demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Can you get that, sucker?
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand.
Look at that. We finally figured it out.
Oh,
we got
yeah.
it working now.
Oh, Ashley. Yeah.
Got it.
Armani.
I found it.
Monty.
Thank you, Monty.
See, we're figuring it out. Monty, Motai, Brad.
Gilmore.
Bradley.
Gilmore. Bradley. I can go by Bradley.
Bradley.
Should I go
Bradley.
By Bradley now instead of Brad?
That's what I call you.
A lot of people tend to call me Bradley, which is funny because I never introduced myself as that. Where do they get that? Where do y'all get that from?
We automatically know that it's just Bradley.
Bradley, Brad.
But some people think my name is Brad Ford.
Brad.
Bradford.
You
Bradford.
Wish.
Well, I wish my name was... No, not really. I don't like the name Bradford. Do you like the name Bradford?
I don't. I like Bradley.
Bradford's
kind of
weird.
Bradford's a little
weird. Bradford's
yeah.
like
Bradley's
country
like a kid,
and
though.
Old. It's like grandpa.
When I hear Bradley, I think of a 7-year-old with a bowl cut because that's what
if
I was.
If your name was Bradford, oh. I'd have to call you Papa.
You would call... Okay.
It's grandpa name.
Yeah, that's an old name.
I might like Papa a little bit.
Okay, Grampy. How about that?
Grampy.
Yeah, I don't like Grampy so much. I don't like Grampy so much. Well, welcome back, y'all, to the Brad Gilmore Show. We had a successful episode last week. The most listened to episode in Brad
yes.
Gilmore Show history with Doe Beezy and the Solid Monster. So we want to give a big shout out to them for helping us out. Get this thing bigger.
Yes, winning.
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 Was that not the most epic interview of all time with Charlie Sheen?
Winning.
I love that interview. Are you bipolar? By winning. I win here and I win there. Great stuff. Anyway, how y'all doing this week?
Oh, you know what? And I was so excited to be able to come and say this that I've been so happy all week. Don't ask why. I don't know. I think because warming up, I could show a little bit more skin.
Oh, yeah. Monty, you get to wear less clothing is what you're saying.
Just a tad. I'm tired of freezing. My car doesn't have any heat. Yes. Sucks.
I don't
but
know.
I'm really happy.
Here's the thing. I have like a kind of two ways of looking at this. There are two sides to this seasonal coin for me. I like the summertime.
All right.
You can do more things in the summertime.
All right.
You can go more places.
Not in Houston.
You can swim. You can go to the swimming pool. All
right.
You can do things like that. You can, like Monty said, wear less clothing. You know, if that's your thing. But here's the thing about the wintertime. I like it because I get to wear more clothing.
Yeah,
you get to dress up.
Better.
You get to look flyer.
The fashion's
you
definitely
get to wear
better.
Black hats inside of buildings.
Was that a subliminal message?
That wasn't a shot at you. I'm saying
shot?
You can do that. You did that.
You shooting, Brad?
I'm not shooting. I'm slugging.
Okay. You're definitely slugging. Okay. Swerve.
No, I liked it. I like that. But you can do stuff like that in the wintertime. In the summertime, you got to be in like, because you know me, I'm like always in button downs and stuff. So I got to mend my whole wardrobe. I
got to
find
tops.
Polo. I'm not going to do tank tops. Can you imagine Brad Gilmore in a
more
tank
biceps.
Top? I do. I talked to Booker T last night about that. He was like,
"What are you getting in the gym?"
I'm like, "I thought you were training me, sucker."
Sucker.
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 But, you know.
Well, I don't like summer in Houston.
Why?
It sucks.
Why?
It's way too hot. Way too many mosquitoes. And then I'm from California. I'm from LA, so it's way better.
Oh my god. I'm
and
from
it's
LA.
Humid. Yes. Yep. Black women and humidity, not a good mix.
Because of the hair?
Because of the hair.
Hey. Brad Gilmore and humidity, not a good mix either. I start getting, because of the hair.
Oh, okay.
I start
okay.
getting like the little, like, look, my hair starts looking wiry and crazy
nah.
when it's really
See,
humid.
It doesn't already?
Does it already? No, Monty. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I said what I had to say.
What'd you say?
You didn't hear what I said because you were talking while I was saying some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said I just start to look oily and sticky and stuff. It's
you know
not
what?
Cool.
Humidity does.
That's
do
what
that.
It does.
Kind of helps
does,
my makeup.
Does.
Though, thanks.
What?
Oh, yeah. It helps your makeup
just
out
a
little
tad,
bit.
You know?
Hey, here's the thing about it being hot. I'm a guy who will sweat in 42-degree weather. All right? I'll figure out a
what
way to sweat in the
yeah,
40.
Yeah, one time I was
like
freezing. He's
like
he's over there like, man, it's freaking hot.
Bro, I was sweating. I don't understand. here's the thing. I don't get cold. Anybody who knows me and is riding a car with me, I'll put it on 60 degrees when it's 30 outside.
Let me tell you guys.
I'll sleep with the fan on and the AC.
Let me tell you guys this. Brad is white.
I was just getting ready to say that.
If you guys didn't know, he's white. That's why.
Okay. What, am I supposed to be like an Eskimo?
You're more immune to it.
Yeah. Is that the thing? Or white people immune?
Think about where you guys originated and your climate. Europe is a lot colder. So you're more accustomed to the cold. Africa is more hot, so we don't get sunburned. We can handle heat more.
I'm right in the
middle. Using your logic, well, actually, you're
still
in Europe.
Colored.
Kinda.
Huh?
You're what? Still kind of colored.
Yeah, I'm not like this guy over here.
No, yeah, I have no pigmentation whatsoever. But going off your logic, if you're saying Africa was hotter, then you should enjoy the hot weather more.
Exactly.
You should like the hot weather in Houston.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't really like it because of my hair, not because I'm going to get sunburned or anything like that of that sort. Just my preference.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the winters going away. I'm not going to look as cool. I'm just putting that out there.
Sunny and 75 every day. I'm good.
Okay, winter fashion is better.
Winter fashion is much better.
Winter fashion is better, always.
I can agree with that, yeah. But
I like to wear bathing suits and have a good time in the summer. Plus, my birthday's in the summer, so I'm definitely a summer fan.
My birthday? Winter time. You see what I'm saying? Close to Christmas.
Gotcha.
I feel you're spring,
so
right?
Like yin and yang.
Your birthday is on 4/20.
Yes, sir, it is.
I'm just putting that out there right now. Hey, so when we were talking before we started recording, and we were talking about the old shows, because we were talking about this is the most listened, last week's episode was the most listened to episode, right? And we were listening to our old shows, and Motai, I don't know what kind of crack we were smoking.
I don't smoke crack. I don't know about you.
I don't smoke crack either.
You don't?
No.
So what are we talking about?
A metaphorical crack.
Okay.
Metacrack. All right. I don't know what kind of metacrack we were smoking because the old shows sound terrible.
I think they were like overpowering, right? Or clipping and stuff like that.
You guys just needed to grow. It's okay.
It's not okay, Molly.
You were just starting.
No, we were just starting. We've been doing this for almost 3 years.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if you listen to the first episode.
Actually,
she was kind of right. We were first starting on our own.
That's true. Producing it on our own.
Yes.
That is true.
Okay.
Okay. You have a point then, Molly.
You have a point.
But I don't like for because now new fans listening to the show probably going to go listen to old episodes and be like, oh, this sounds like crap.
No, they're going to listen and they're going to be like, wow, they've really grown and came a long way.
They have improved.
You have to think optimistically.
Come on, man.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Speaking of which, I'm about halfway done, half full with my Rockstar Super Sours energy drink, which is a sour green apple energy drink.
You need to start drinking those.
It smells really good, but those are really bad for
you. Oh, they're terrible for you. But it was on sale at the Shell station by my house. And I thought I'd give it a try, but it's pretty much like a sour Jolly Rancher melted down. And no, not it's a little weird tasting.
I want to try it.
Oh, here you go.
Okay.
Give it a try. Let's get the on-air reaction to this energy drink. You like it?
So good.
You like it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll buy you a case. I'll buy you a case of them.
It's really good.
I think it's a little strange tasting. Here we are. Motai's tasting it now. Motai, what are your initial thoughts?
Watered down.
Anyway.
I mean, if you were referring to, you know.
One in a million, Motai. You're one in a million, dude. You know that?
I am.
You know
I
that?
Am. Yes. I am.
That tickled me.
That tickled you?
That tickled me.
Anyway.
I'm
we have
talking
a
about
show
Shake,
today.
Motherfucker.
We were talking about Booker T earlier, and we actually have his wife on the show today, Miss Charmel Huffman. She, interesting life, y'all. Interesting life. Now, I know y'all weren't here, and I feel bad for that. For the interview.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why.
Apparently there was a miscommunicado. I don't know whose part or fault it was, but...
I'm not going to name drop. I don't think I should go there.
No one likes a name dropper, actually.
Right?
No one likes a tattletale either.
Let's not go that route,
all right? All right. Monty. All right, but what an interesting life this woman has had. Probably... out of everyone I've ever talked to in my entire life, has done everything in the entertainment industry.
Wow.
Been in a pop group, choreographed movies, danced for James Brown, was in Biggie Smalls videos.
Whoa.
Wrestled in almost every promotion there is. Signed by WWE, TNA, WCW.
Wow.
Married to a Hall of Famer, Booker T. And now the mother of twins.
She,
does everything, apparently.
She's Miss Make It Happen.
I think that's a good nickname for her.
Mrs.
She's
Make It
Miss
Happen.
Make It Happen. And not only that, valedictorian of her high school.
Wow.
Wow.
And we talk about
she
all
She made
that.
It hard for every other woman out here.
Yeah, she really set the bar kind of high. She set the bar.
She set it really high, but it's okay.
It's all right.
It's all right.
We're going to get into it, though, now. Motai.
What's up?
How you feeling, man?
I'm good.
Do you want to, like, maybe have like a Monday?
He came in here with this Whataburger. I didn't even ask anybody.
I know. Who eats Whataburger for breakfast, Motai? Who eats Whataburger for breakfast?
It's okay. I had breakfast.
Whataburger
had. So I'm okay.
But you were eating fries.
Guess what? It's 3 o'clock now on a Thursday.
Okay, but they don't know that.
Is it afternoon?
It's afternoon.
Is evening like after 5?
4 o'clock is still afternoon. So 5's evening, I think, right?
Yeah, I would.
5 would be evening time. Hey, yes, we heard it, Motai. I don't know what's going on. You've heard.
I was hearing some weird stuff last night, too, man.
What were you hearing?
Like, you ever.
I know the. Yeah, I've seen the Lion King.
Yeah, Lion King.
You ever heard him?
Abby Goldberg was one of the hyenas, by the way.
Was she really?
She was.
That's another talented woman.
Yeah. Whoopi Goldberg.
You know, Whoopi Goldberg won an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar,
She's
and
awesome.
A Tony.
Awesome. She's awesome.
And her name's not even Whoopi Goldberg.
What is her name?
Whoopi was a nickname given to her when she was on stage on Broadway or whatever, because she would always pass gas. So they called her Whoopi.
You're lying.
Whoa.
I'm not making it up. Her real name's
you
like Karen.
Lying.
Does she still do that?
Ew.
Her real name's Karen
or something. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That is disgusting.
And come on, Goldberg's a Jewish last name. I don't think that's her real last name either.
What is her name then?
Karen something or another.
Wow. She looks like a Karen.
She does look like a Karen, doesn't she? She looks like a Karen. So you heard hyenas?
Maybe a Bertha, but not a Karen.
She looks like a Bertha?
Maybe a little bit.
Whoopi Goldberg looks like a bird. All right.
Okay, we're off topic. We're off topic.
On that note, I don't even know if I want to hear about
it. No. You want to hear what I'm going to say.
I want to hear about it because those are creepy.
Let's hear
about
Ty.
All right. So, last night, you know.
All right, Motai, you know what? I don't want to hear about hyenas. Just do your job. All right, for once, can you do your job? And can you play us DJ Motai's Monday morning music mix? Can you do that? Sucker!
Okay.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
Cool. Here it is. Stay tuned with our interview with Sharmell Huffman on the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand.
Whoop!
Cause there's a meeting in my bedroom. There's a meeting in my bedroom. Hey, come into my room. Put my. I don't really, 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 really wanna let you go. Need an update. Tell me how you feeling, where you been. Tell me that you're missing now and then. Did you brag only to a friend? Give you this update. Private jet land out in Paris. Told you from the jump it was lavish. Never ever once thought of marriage.
I wonder what it feel like. What it feel like. What it feel like. What it. What it. What it feel like. What it feel like. What it feel like. What it, I just can't wait. She know that she love the way I do it. And she know that I can feel right. If it's still tight. Yeah, I just might explode when I. Yeah, she know she can get it when she want it. I still own it.
Yeah, I'm a throat ass nigga. All about control ass nigga. Know what it was gonna be when I got there. How you gonna hold this nigga? You know I don't fold my nigga. I'm the only one that do you like that. You know I'm a play ass nigga.
ain't never talk with my niggas, and I may love it. You know I'm back in town, you could've messed around and now.
I need a update. Tell me how you feeling, where you been? Tell me that you missing now and then. Did you brag on it to a friend? Hear you this update. Private jet land out of Paris. Told you from the jump it was lavish. Never ever once started bad.
I wonder what it feel like. What it feel like. What it feel like. What it, what it, what it feel like. What it feel like. What it feel like. What it, what it. And she got my favorite fucking suit on. In that thong. My plans tonight is not to be alone. So like Marvin Gaye. Then I got a message that said foreplay. Hit it in the worst way. I had fresh up out the shower to that Benzo. I was doing about 100 on that feeder road. Girl, I'm speeding right. Fuck the police. I gotta get to ya and put that ass to sleep. Told me you kept it tight. I'm tryna see if it's right. Houston, we might have a problem if it don't feel like.
Yeah, I'm a thot ass nigga. All about control, ass nigga. You knew what it was gonna be when I got back. How you gon' hold this nigga? You know I don't fold my nigga. I'm the only one that do you like that. You know I'm a play ass nigga, cause I ain't never told my niggas. And I know you love it. I know I'm back in time, you could've messed around with that.
I need a update. Tell me how you feeling, where you been? Tell me that you miss it now and then. Hey. Did you bring on it to a friend? Hey. Hear you this time. Hey. Told you from the jump, who's that?
Success is a natural reaction that'll make you lose focus. It's just a distraction. Don't give them the attention or the satisfaction. Feeling like I'm at my best on top of the game. Always on the practice field, perfecting my aim. Giving you the signal to let you know I'm switching lanes. Never catch me being still like a freeze frame. So I propose a toast to the laughter. To all the critics thinking I was no longer a factor. Similar to a professional gambler. Know the odds before you play your hand, for example. Living life the way I please, carefree. That's not a gimmick, that's just me being me. What they allowed y'all to see was only a glimpse. Change gears on the game and I ain't looked back since.
Frame from a camera by now for y'all to picture me. At least that's what I thought, but what I hear is contradictory. I walk this fine line, it's balance, homie, symmetry. How niggas feel failure from my success, that's a mystery. Shit, oh well, you buying what they sell. You don't need me, you can do battle by your damn self. Word to the wise, if you hate and keep your distance. That love-hate thing would just be going to be consistent. Go ahead, keep taking these ways for granted. So you'll understand, this bar's harder than granted. Underdog against the odds, yep, that's just how I planned it. When I get it, I ain't giving it back. Just being candid to the rappers, taking pot shots in the dark. To Norville, didn't even warrant a spark. Already, you can take this for what it's worth. The pennies for your thoughts won't get you reimbursed. Swayze, baby.
I hear what they say.
Car with a European chick. Euro made watch, making European sick. Japanese denim, old soccer made fashion. Late night London, West End club crashing. Joyce and Morales set the stallion free to run. Ferrari down the Autobahn, bucket list fun. Jump in the jet, tour through the Eurozone. Net Jets car makes it easier to roam. Stop in Amsterdam, clogging up the cabin. High club birds begging for the shagging. Champions League, UEFA Cup, I'm excited. Theater of dreams, mid-pitch, Man United. Zach all waiting list, sold out venues. Eating up life, what's next on the menu? Scheme with my team, now we're living a dream. Roll tight like a burrito, no sour juice.
just green.
Summer day, small waist and pretty face, body like you did ballet. Wondering, pondering, stumbling over words. Always been one to ball, but baby, you had them curves, so you threw me off a little bit. But I got back in the game, cause I had to hit. Knowing if I could get your attention just for a little bit, maybe you could be the girl I could go home with. But you weren't feeling that. Had a dude vision clouded, kinda like cataract. Situation escalated, kinda like a Cadillac. Told me there was more than you than that big hump up on your back. But damn, that ass was nice, girl. Had me wondering what it took to be that Mr. Right, girl. Said you were the dinner before you turned off lights, girl. Walks on the beach, you know, the flying kites, girl. So I took you on a date. And the night I got it, damn, it was worth the wait. Make them kind of sounds, movies couldn't even fake. Body made the moves that Harlem couldn't even shake. Damn, girl, for heaven's sake, I was in the presence of greatness. Kissing pictures like your single friends, don't hate this. Took more than a couple rhymes to make this. What we got is real, girl, you can't fake this. My sun and my moon, girl, my jump over broom, girl. And when I get home, I want you up in my room, girl.
Just like the kind of cold, I'ma let that body be like I'm Cameo. And trust, boy, ain't no common fella. Handle business like I'm J.D. Rockefeller. My bad, I started talking about me. I wanna talk about you, know all the things you believe. I wanna talk about the fam, I wanna talk about the fun. If things get too serious, are you the reverend and run questions? Do you love the summer season? All your clothes from Neiman's? Do you like butter pecan? Is your mother Puerto Rican? I'm thinking that she is, girl. That explains why that thing's so thick, girl. Every time you leave, no one playing straight mission. Need to take some vines and some Instagram pictures. You see me in that Benz lately. Swear to stay and gang crazy like a Slim Shady. Because these women wanna date me. Then that's a couple dates. See, these women want a baby. That ain't what a play about. Screaming pimpin' ain't dead on a player drought. Wait, baby, just stop it. You just rock it. You so polished, I can't doubt it. You just got it, ah.
You got it. Loving you ain't hard. Been it from the start. You know who you are.
You got it.
We can take it slow. Let me take you home. Cause pleasing you is easy.
What's up, everybody? This is your man Brad Gilmore, a.k.a. Lord Trillmore, and I'm with my guy, the Duke of Debonair, Tay Mitch.
And we want to invite you beautiful people out to the Debonair Lounge this Monday.
You'll be surrounded by positive vibes and hear the best live music in the city of Houston.
Just ask my man Kirko.
What it do, man? It's Kirko Mays. And every Monday, I need the whole city to come out. My partner, Tay Mitch, and my partner, Brad Trillmore, is going down to the Debonair Lounge, man. Y'all know what it do.
Debonair Lounge, 4212 Alameda Road, doors at 9 p.m.
While the tax deadline is several months away, it always seems to be here before you know it. Tax Brainiacs wants to help you prepare and navigate you through the process. Our well-trained professionals will help make your tax experience smooth and easy. Plus, Tax Brainiacs will serve you not just during tax season, but year-round. Don't wait until the last minute to get solid tax advice. Call Tax Brainiacs today, 281-886-0200, or log on to taxbrainiacs.com. Tax Brainiacs. Taxation with smart representation.
Hey everybody, it's Brad Gilmore, and I want all of you to come check out our new podcast, the BG Show Classics Podcast, exclusively on iTunes and bgshowclassics.podbean.com. This is an all-new service, baby, showcasing the classic moments and extra tidbits, baby, from the Brad Gilmore Show, baby, from the last 3 years. Drink, and we'll also have brand new podcasts, special special guests. So y'all go check that out right now at the BG Show Classics Podcast on iTunes. Search Brad Gilmore or go to bgshowclassics.podbean.com. Check it out.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand. We have another great show for you this week. Very great show. I have a very special guest in the studio with me right now. I'm actually really excited because we have very few like women that come on the show, especially a few women who are as successful, let me say that better, successful as the woman sitting across from me right now. She's worked for pretty much, she's done everything in the entertainment industry that you can pretty much do. Choreographing movies, dancing for James Brown.
Yes, yes.
You know, in every wrestling promotion there's pretty much ever been that I can think of, at least. Pop singer, you're in a pop group.
We really had to go there.
A lot
okay.
of things.
Yes.
A lot of things. Welcome, Miss Sharmell Huffman.
Thank
to the
you
show.
For having me.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. We talked about it. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired. But you know, I'm gonna get through it. I've known you for now it's over a year, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, time flies.
It's been a while. And I've wanted to have you on. I've had Booker on. Oh,
right.
And she's the wife of Booker T.
That's right.
If you don't know, you can just see on her iPhone case. It's on.
Absolutely.
He's definitely very. Anyway, but yeah, I've had Booker on a couple of times, and it seems like every time I talk to Booker, even if it's in person or if it's on podcast, he always brings up, and I can't do it without my lovely wife, Sharmell.
Well, you know, we're a team.
Y'all are a big, better tag team than him and Stevie. I'm going to put it out there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, but we really are a team. I mean, you know, for those of you who are married, you know that marriage is hard work, but we stick together. We're a team. We make joint decisions, and, you know, it's just everything turns out great.
I want to talk more about Booker, obviously, but yeah. Let's start a little back further. Let's go back. Now, I told you I have your Wikipedia page up here.
Uh-oh.
It's a great source of information. It's
yes,
a great.
It is.
So I know you're not from Texas originally.
I'm from Gary, Indiana. Michael Jackson.
Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana.
It seems like a weird place to be from, though. You know what I mean? for a Texan, at least. When I think Indiana, I don't think of it as a state for some reason.
You are too funny. But, you know, the thing is, I found that people from Texas never leave. Like, they may leave to go away to school and everything, but they come back. So
yeah,
that's how I ended up here. Since Booker is from here,
he's not
I
leaving.
Had no choice but to move here.
He's not
yeah,
leaving.
That's right.
Yeah, there's something weird about being from Texas. You're very proud of the fact that you're from Texas.
That's right, yeah.
And you don't want, like, I've talked to people, like, from the Northeast, and, like, especially, like, New Yorkers are very proud,
mm-hmm.
but everyone else is pretty much like, oh, okay, yeah, this is where I was born and raised or whatever, but
right.
they don't hold it that close. For some reason, Texans are very, very rowdy, and they're very proud of where they're from,
and I
where
love
where we're
it.
From.
I love it.
Now, you're
it
a transplant.
Used to scare me a little at first, but I love it now.
How long have you been in Texas?
I've been here about 13 years.
Okay, so you're kind of accustomed now to
the
culture, but you're from Gary, Indiana, and it says you were the valedictorian of your high school.
Yes, I am. What most people don't know about me is that I am a proud, proud nerd. I am just nerdy, 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 and I love it.
Oh, wow. I would have never guessed that. Valedictorian of your class. I'm not going to say what year you graduated, but
Please
then you
don't.
Went to you went to Spelman College in Atlanta.
That's right.
I'm sure Atlanta's a big change from Gary, Indiana, no?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It was. I loved Atlanta. I stayed there for a while after I graduated. I loved it so much. It was absolutely amazing. And particularly, you know, not just the city, but I was happy with the weather. Because at home in Gary, my house literally was like maybe 3 blocks from Lake Michigan. So
okay.
when it snowed, we got that wind from the lake and we were literally snowed into our house. So I was loving, number one, the Atlanta weather. I might be dating myself now, but that's when Freaknik was in full effect. You know what I'm saying? So it was fun.
I'm sure. And you had fun in college. What'd you study in college?
I majored in mathematics.
So you're a real nerd.
I am a real nerd. Like, for fun, I do logic problems.
Oh, wow.
Love them. Yeah.
So I can call you if I need help in math ever.
Absolutely. Numbers run through my head all day. It's crazy.
What is that about? Where does that come from? Was your mother or father very mathematical or anything?
Well, not really. I mean, both of my parents were educators, but
yeah.
they didn't have, they weren't, math was not the subject that they taught, I should say. I don't know where it came from. I think that, here's my theory. I could be wrong, but I think I was born to entertain. As you've
okay.
said, I kind of have done it all. But in order to balance myself out, because, you know, entertainment is creativity. It's subjective. I've done a lot of pageants. You know, the judges sit there and they vote on you. So that's subjective. Do they like you? Do they not? But with mathematics, 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah.
And that's all there is. So I think it kind of balanced me out. There's the this is this. And that's what it is, which is mathematics. And then there's the entertainment, which can be anything.
Anything. And you mentioned going into pageants. So what made you start in that? Were you going to Spelman at the time that you
actually? I entered my first pageant when I was 12 years old.
And you were 12.
And it kind of was just something to do. It was just fun for me. When I got into the high school years, I did it for scholarship money. And then I ended
right.
up winning Miss Black America. That was a blast. That was the year of the whole Tyson.
The Tyson. I wanted to ask you about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so.
So, like, okay, what was the thing that went down again? I mean, it was a little before that I was around at the time, but what
so
happened?
So, in other words, I'm a lot older than Brad.
You're older than, hey. You're a little bit older.
Just a little.
Not much.
Yeah, but.
But what went down with Tyson? I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, he was accused of raping one of the contestants in the Miss Black America pageant that year. And so that's what he ended up going to prison for in Indiana.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Did you meet Tyson when everything was there, when during the pageant, I mean?
I did, because he came in and he filmed some segments for the pageant
uh-huh.
with us. So all of the contestants met him.
How was he as a person back then?
To me, he was very kind. He was very
okay.
respectful. He reached out his hand to shake my hand, you know.
Strong grip?
Strong grip, definitely.
Strong grip, yeah.
But
I'm
yeah,
sure.
He was very kind, very quiet, almost shy-like.
I mean, I've listened to like interviews with Mike Tyson recently, and he says he looks back at the early 90s and he doesn't even recognize the person that he was. So I didn't know if like back then he was just kind of real, like, I don't know, didn't want to talk to anybody. And I would be afraid of Mike Tyson.
Right. But he seemed very.
Today, even.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't know. Like I said, when I met him, of course, it was in the pageant environment. You know, we were filming some things, and he just was, like I said, very nice and very reserved. Not the Mike Tyson that you hear
about.
Not like
larger than life Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
So like, okay, so you're doing the pageant. You won Miss Black America.
Right.
How'd that make you feel, first of all? It's like, in the entire United States of America, you were Miss Black America.
Let me tell you, it was really surreal, and it really didn't hit me until about 5 days later.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember I was interning at General Motors. I was a General Motors scholar. So after the pageant, I went back to my internship. And I sat there in my little apartment in Flint, Michigan.
Oh,
and
nice.
I said, wait a minute. I am Miss Black America. I mean, it really did. It just kind of hit me over the head. So, you know, it just, I'm from a small town, like we
yeah.
said, Gary, Indiana. And you don't really think that when you're from someplace small like that, that you're going to grow up to be Miss Black America. So it really was. It was weird, but I'm telling you, it was totally
was it a
blessing.
Was it a goal of yours, though, to get to Miss Black? It was just something you were doing?
Just something I was doing. I always loved pageantry, but it was never my goal. To me, it was about the competition and bettering myself. It was never about, oh, let me run and win Miss America or let me run and win Miss USA. You know, it was never about the title. It was just about getting better.
And like, okay, what would you say there's one thing that you learned from the pageant times that you still use today? What's something that you learned in the pageants?
Something I learned in the pageants that I still use today. That's a good question, Brad.
Well, you know, I do this.
And the reason I say it's a good question is because you know that my life took a complete turn. When you think of a pageant yeah. queen, you don't think of wrestling.
You don't at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So just I think the one thing that I took with me is the poise and grace in any situation, because most of my characters in wrestling, particularly Queen Charmelle, those characters were very graceful in the midst of all the madness.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that. So you were doing the pageants. You won Miss Black America. When, how'd you start getting into like dancing for like, because I'm reading here that you were with hip hop acts before.
Right,
and then
yeah, yeah.
Who'd you tour with? Who were some hip hop acts?
Toured with Blackstreet.
Okay.
Keith Sweat.
Oh, wow.
Did a few videos. I did that 112 video featuring Puffy and Biggie.
Did you meet Puffy and Biggie?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You met Biggie?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How was he?
You know, what's really weird is you see these personas on TV, but he was another one. Very nice, very respectful.
It might be you, Charmelle. You might be.
You know, I think that I command respect.
You might do that.
Yeah, I think so.
Our Biggie was like, hey, Puffy, isn't that Miss Black America over there?
Yeah, but you know, I did a few videos where Outkast and Goody Mob, we were all like in this one video together, and I'm huge fans of theirs.
Oh, you know, so they're getting back together, Outkast.
Yeah,
and they're
I heard
going
that.
On like a bunch of tours or whatever.
I heard that, so festivals. I will be there, definitely.
God, who do you like more on Outkast? I'm an Andre 3000 guy.
I am too, because he dresses so weird, and I love it. I shouldn't yeah. say weird, but I love the way
weird.
He dresses. Yeah.
It's a little strange. He's a strange guy.
And I love that. I love anybody who dares to be themselves.
And then Goody Mob, you said, you know, so you had CeeLo Green.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man, I didn't even know this. Now we're getting into a whole new thing.
And see, you're supposed to be family. You're supposed to know all this about me.
I have a nickname. I have a nickname in the family.
Should I say?
You can share it.
I have nicknamed Brad Icicle.
Now, where does that come from? Where does Icicle come from?
You know, I don't know. Actually, my sister nicknamed you that. She's the one who picks all the names.
I'll take it up with her.
Yeah.
I'll take it up with her. So you Goody Mob, Outkast, so you're doing videos. But did you ever think like that was going to go anywhere? Because were you still working at General Motors when you were doing this or what?
No, I wasn't. At this point, I had graduated and was trying to dance. Well, I guess I was dancing full time. I didn't know where it would lead me because I always wanted to get into acting. You know,
yeah.
I knew I couldn't dance forever, but Debbie Allen was my idol.
Okay.
And when I was doing videos, no offense against, you know, the videos that are out now,
mm-hmm.
but when I was doing videos, the dancers were actually professional dancers.
Yeah.
So we were actually doing dance moves, you know, and I really, really love that. So I just wanted to see how far it could take me.
Okay, so let me tell you this. So you're doing these videos, you're doing dances, Keith Sweat,
mm-hmm.
112,
mm-hmm.
Goody Mob, Outkast. When did you get a call saying, or did you, you know, I want you to come audition or I want you to go on the road with the Godfather, James Brown?
So this is great. All right, so I'm touring with Blackstreet, loving it. And an opportunity came up with James Brown. One of my really good friends, Heather Hayes, the daughter of legendary Isaac Hayes, was a dancer for James Brown. And she called me. My nickname is Sherry. She goes, Sherry, we have a spot open. Do you want to come and dance for James Brown? I'm like, what? No. Like, I'm with Blackstreet. What are you talking about? So
I'm with Blackstreet. No diggity. Come on now.
Okay. So I passed up on James Brown. So like a month later, some nonsense happened. I found myself out of a job.
Oh no.
And Heather called me again. She said, well, this position is still open. Do you want to audition for it? I was like, well, you know, my parents aren't too happy with me right now because here I am with a math degree, but yet I'm sitting here being a starving artist because I want to be a dancer. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I need a job.
Yeah,
I'll audition for James Brown. So I went over her house. I learned a couple of the routines. So a week later, she said, well, come on, we're going to go to Augusta, which is where the James Brown's headquarters were. And she said, you know, let's go audition for him. Now, part of the story is that Heather and I look very similar, and especially on stage, we could kind of pass as twins. So I went to the office. I walked into the office, met James Brown. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "Fine, sir." He's like, "Okay, you got the job." So I didn't even have to dance. It's like, well, okay, great.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. God. So I started touring from there.
Now, okay, now you can't tell me that James Brown was a quiet and reserved guy like the other celebrities you met.
No,
he was larger than life all the time, right?
All the time. All the time.
And we were at dinner the other night after the Reality of Wrestling show with it was me, you, Booker, Kevin Nash, and your mother, your lovely mother.
Yes.
And you were telling me a couple James Brown stories, but tell the fans who are listening right now, what's the James Brown story that you just want to share right now?
You know, it's really hard to share James
Brown stories.
Because
you were with him for how long?
I was with him for 3.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, because you got to watch what you say to protect the innocent and those that are still living. But it was always a wild time. I think I was sharing with you one of the stories about when we were... Now, the James Brown entourage was like 40, 50 deep. You know, he had a lot of band members, a lot of dancers, but we were all flown over on a private plane to perform for one of the relatives of the Sultan of Brunei. And so we performed on his 5-story yacht, but since we were the help, we had to change on his 3-story yacht, which was like, you know, in the water next door. So we had to take this little boat across to the other yacht. I mean, I've seen things that just defy logic.
Yeah.
You know, and for me to be a girl, again, from a small Midwestern town, and I've been absolutely everywhere, you know, it's been totally amazing. You have to come back to me on like a really, really funny story. I'll have to think of which one I can tell.
I'm sure there are a lot.
Without getting in trouble.
Without getting in trouble. But man, so 3.5 years on the road with the Godfather, James Brown.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. James Brown's a pretty, like, still to this day, like, huge name.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was amazing because everybody who's anybody would come to a James Brown show.
Yeah.
You know, they all love the Godfather of Soul. And not to mention some of the festivals that we attended or that James Brown was participating in, where, like, Ray Charles and, you know, all these other legends, Aretha Franklin. Like, I got to meet all these people, you know? And
Let me stop you there. Who's one person that you've met, because you've had a crazy career.
Sure.
Now that I'm thinking about it, you've done pretty much everything there is to do. Who's one person you met who was kind of like, oh, wow? You had to go call your mom that night and be like, hey, guess who I met tonight?
I think that Little Richard was one of those people, because he's just so freaking awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just to see him in person, to me, was like, wow. Now, I will tell you, I'm a little upset because I joined the James Brown band sort of right after James Brown did a show with Prince and Michael Jackson.
Oh.
So let me tell you, I would have passed out. Like, they would have just had to find another dancer because I would have passed out. One thing I was really, really happy about was jamming on stage with Rick James. Rick James came up during Sex Machine one time at the House of Blues, I believe in L.A., And also Bootsy.
Oh.
What? Like, just, how does this happen?
How does this happen to you, Sharma? Gary, Indiana.
I don't know. Like, you're getting me excited all over again.
Valedictorian, mathematic degree.
Yeah.
Parents are educated, and now, but you're meeting all these people and doing these crazy things
and
to another world.
And jamming on stage with them, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's one thing to meet somebody.
Yeah.
But it's one thing to interact with them in their element.
Yeah.
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah, so
it's
been a fun life. One of the things I'm really, really proud of is that I was the soloist on Man's World, because that was like the, you know, huge thing if you were one of his dancers. So I did the solo performance to Man's World, and for that I am forever grateful.
Now, James Brown, yeah, he passed away in 2008?
Was it 7 or 8? One of those.
It's one of those. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. It's 7 or 8. Do you remember the day that you got, like, did you someone call you and say, hey?
I do remember, because I believe it was Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, one of the two. And Roosevelt Johnson, who has been with James Brown for about 40 years, he's pretty much his go-to guy, travels with him all the time. He was the one who gave me the call, you know, because obviously we toured so much, we're all family. By this time, I was already in the wrestling world and was no longer touring with James Brown. But yeah, I was one of the first people to find out, I think.
Yeah, it was Christmas Day, 2006.
Christmas Day, 2006. Wow, has it been that long?
Yeah. How'd you feel, though? Because, I mean, all of America kind of wept at that, but you knew the man.
Let me tell you, I was crushed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody's going to die. You know, that's part of life, but this man, to me, kind of was just indestructible.
He seemed that way.
You know?
Yeah. The first time I ever saw James Brown, I was actually watching the movie Rocky Four, yeah, I believe he was in. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching that and being like, I didn't know who he was because I was a little kid when I saw this movie. And I was like, whoa, this guy seems cool, you know? He seemed large, like we said, larger than life.
Yeah.
And then when I started listening to James Brown and understanding who he was, the Godfather, right. I call him the Godfather of hip-hop and soul because I don't think
you
there would be.
You have a point, yeah.
There wouldn't
you
be
have
hip-hop
a point.
Without James Brown.
Correct.
But, you know, then I started understanding who he was. And then he is one of those guys who you just don't think about who would die. You know what
right.
I mean? He
right.
seems like he would live forever. And his music will, obviously.
Yeah.
But now that's kind of sad. So you were with him for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And what happened after that? After 3.5 year stint, where'd you go from there?
From there, I went to WCW.
Okay, so how does that happen? How do you go to World Championship Wrestling from James Brown? Now, we're talking about big leaps. That's a whole different world there.
Yeah. I was on the tour bus, the James Brown tour bus, and we were pulled over somewhere, and we just happened to be watching TV,
mm-hmm.
and wrestling came on. I, unfortunately, was not a wrestling fan.
Around what year was this?
This had to have been probably 98.
98, okay.
97 or 98. 97. And I saw these girls dancing. I'm like, who are these girls, and why are they dancing and wrestling? And I found out they were the Nitro girls. Now, the difference between the Nitro girls and, say, you know, the power dancers for the Rockets was that with the Nitro girls, they were prominently featured. Like, mm-hmm. they were their own characters.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of research on them. I saw they had merchandise and they, you know, had all this stuff. I'm like, huh, how can I do this? Well, interestingly enough, remember when I told you with James Brown, a spot came open?
Yeah.
Well, there was a girl named Teo who was a dancer for James Brown, and she got fired. And, you know, I never knew what happened to Teo. Well, lo and behold, when I was looking at the wrestling show, I saw Teo was one of those girls. So I just kind of kept that in the back of my mind. And later on, I met one of the, because WCW was based in Atlanta. I was still living in Atlanta where I went to college. And I met one of the Nitro girls. I actually put her in a music video that I choreographed. And I told her, hey, you know, if any openings come up, give me a call. Well, lo and behold, this same girl, Teo, who used to dance for James Brown, got fired from the Nitro girls. And so Tigress called and said, hey, they're having, you know, auditions. Come on down. So I went down. I prayed beforehand. I said, I'm claiming this because this is what I want to do. Auditioned, and that was that.
But you wanted to do it. So were you ever a wrestling fan before? Did you ever watch it one day in your life before?
I did not, and I feel so ashamed about that because I'm hooked now. I mean, you know, now wrestling is my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did not. I did not watch it. Part of my homework was before I actually went on air, I had to sit at home for an entire month and watch the show.
And learn like the characters.
And learn about the characters. And right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you, here you are, never watched wrestling a day in your life. You happen to turn it on James Brown's tour bus.
Yeah.
In 97, which is like when the big boom period of wrestling started back up again, you know, and it was the biggest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are. Now you're a Nitro girl. What was your Nitro girl name?
Storm.
Storm. That's right. Storm.
Because I'm an X-Men fan.
Oh, nerd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nerd.
Yeah.
You're an X-Men fan.
Yeah. I was a fan of Storms, you know, so. Like, okay.
Did you see the X-Men movies?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Halle Berry's portrayal. How'd you think of her Storm? Do you like her Storm?
I do, but you know I'm a Halle Berry fan.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Have you seen the preview for the new one?
I have not.
Oh, there's a new movie coming out. Looks pretty good.
Are you going to take me and Booker, or are we going?
We'll go.
Okay,
me,
cool.
You, and Booker will go see X-Men.
Cool. Awesome.
I'll put that on my schedule. I think I can.
Okay.
I could pencil you on in. So anyway, so yeah, sit at home for a month, learn the show. Well, and then here you are. When did you make your debut on Nitro? A month, like, I guess 30 days later?
Well, you know what? So all of this must have happened in 98, because I want to say I debuted on Nitro in December of 98.
Okay, so there at the tail end of that 98.
Yeah.
Going into 99.
Right.
What was going on at WCW at that time? What do you remember?
I remember that, well, at the beginning, I mean, you know, I kind of, the Nitro girls were sort of their own entity, so I never really knew.
Did you not? Did
what
you,
was
did
going
like,
on in
did
the
Did they
wrestling
keep
world?
Y'all, like, just separate from everybody? I didn't know if they, like, how that worked. Because I'm sure you have 5, 6, 7 very attractive women. You don't want to really mix them with all these WCW guys.
Right, yeah. We were kind of isolated a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't towards the end of WCW where it seemed like every week somebody new was in charge.
Oh,
so
okay.
We kind of didn't know what was going on. There was a lot of confusion towards the end of it. But yeah, towards the beginning, I mean, it was a very well-oiled machine.
Yeah. So you're in here and you're dancing, but then how long were you dancing as a Nitro girl on the show?
Probably for about a year and a half.
Okay, because
I'm very bad with timelines.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. We all
but
are.
Probably about a year and a half.
So okay. You were dancing for a year and a half, and then I do remember seeing you on WCW television, but here's the thing. I don't remember you as a Nitro girl.
Okay.
I guess I started watching after that. I remember you as a character named Paisley.
Paisley, yeah, yeah.
How did that come about? How did you come into a character mode?
I got a call Friday afternoon saying, hey, you're no longer going to be a Nitro girl. We want you to be Paisley Park, and you're going to be with the wrestler, you know, formerly known as Prince Iaukea. So find a purple dress and be ready for TV on Monday. I'm like, okay. So that's kind of how it was born, over the weekend. And I knew nothing. I just knew to bring a purple dress.
Okay, so you show up there the first day on Nitro. You're in your purple dress. What's your directive? What are you doing? Just walking the artist to the ring?
Yeah, the only thing I was told was that, and this was one thing I was happy about, I was told that I would have to be the mouthpiece for the wrestler.
Okay.
Because, you know, he was this mysterious figure, and so I would have to sort of be his translator and interpreter and all of that kind of stuff. So that I was happy about. I said, okay, I get some mic time. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, get your face on TV, get people knowing who you are. Okay,
yeah,
I
was very sad about not dancing anymore. Dancing is my first love.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I always wanted to get into acting. So
you thought, and what people still don't, it surprises me that people still to this day don't realize a wrestler or anybody in the business on the show pretty much is a character. They're portraying a character.
Absolutely.
24 hours, you know, I mean, the whole 365, you're playing that one role.
Right.
Every week on TV.
That's right.
People, I don't understand why. What do you think the disconnect with people is? Because they think.
That's the million-dollar question. I have no clue.
Let me ask you this. Did you know wrestling was a work when you were getting into it? Did you know that it's predetermined? Because you said you never really watched it.
Yeah. I kind of assumed that. You know, I didn't know for sure, like I said, because I never really watched it. But to me, I always, and this is before they started calling it sports entertainment.
Yeah.
I always looked at it as entertainment. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that it is a lot of physical activity, and I learned that firsthand when they sent me down to the power plant to learn how to wrestle.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough stuff. It's very physical, but it is entertainment. You know, I mean, yes, you really do get hurt. You're really getting hit by a chair. You're really breaking bones and all that kind of stuff. But it's entertainment at its core.
They sent you to the power plant. And for people who don't know, Power Plant was WCW's training facility.
Right, yeah.
Where the Big Show trained to wrestle and Goldberg trained to wrestle. And so they sent you down there to tell you you're going to be an in-ring competitor?
Well, what they said was that there really was no place in wrestling for dancers. Mm-hmm. So they pretty much sent most of the Nitro girls to the Power Plant to learn how to wrestle. And I think they just did that to see if anybody had any athletic ability.
Yeah.
And, you know, if so, they could turn them into wrestlers. If not, maybe they'll just be valets or a character on the show.
So you went down to the power plant, start learning the ropes, start running the ropes, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How was that first day? Because was Sarge still training everybody?
Sarge was still there. And this is the honest to goodness truth. My first day, I thought, okay, you know, I can handle this because I've always been very athletic. I'm a former gymnast and, you know, just a lot of stuff. But, when I went to bed that night, when I woke up the next morning, I literally could not move. Like, I remember I was laying on my back, and I went to, you know how you just think you're going to sit up?
Yeah.
So I went to try to sit up, and I was stuck. I could not move. Every single thing on my body hurt. I had to roll out of bed, and that took me a good 15 to 20 minutes.
To get out of bed.
To just get out of bed.
Just after the first day.
So I was like, you know what? This is serious. And then, you know, as we kept going to the power plant, and you'd have even pro football players come down there and try to wrestle, you'd see them just huddled over a garbage can throwing up. Like, it's no joke. It is no joke.
Oh, man. So when did you wrestle your first match? You wrestled did you wrestle Sunny in your first match?
I did.
Yo, wow. Most downloaded woman or whatever she was back in the day.
And I was scared to death.
Yeah?
Yeah, but she guided me through it. So, yeah.
So you're standing there, but let's say you're standing there backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on the other side of the curtain. What's going through your mind when you're about to walk out there for your first match?
what's going through my mind is don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up. You know, because you never know what's going to happen out there. The thing with wrestling, again, you know, we just talked about, yeah, these are characters and it's entertainment, but what people need to realize is you really do have someone else's life in your hands.
Yeah.
So when you're new at this, that's a whole nother factor of nerves kicking in right there. And we made sure that we didn't do anything that was too dangerous, I should say. But still, just the fact of knowing, all right, I'm in charge of somebody else.
This is life. Yeah. Kinda.
Yeah. So
you say
I was
you didn't do anything
out.
Dangerous, but I read here that you won with a DDT, right?
If you say so.
That's what it says here. I don't know. Do you not remember that?
I don't remember. I just remember a round off back handspring elbow.
It said on the April 26, 2000 episode of WCW Nitro, Paisley won her. It says you run your in-ring debut. You won.
Okay.
With a DDT.
I need to read my own Wikipedia.
You need to.
Jeez.
Following the release of the artist from WCW, Sullivan began valeting for Kiwi.
Kiwi, yes.
I don't remember Kiwi.
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 Kiwi, yeah.
Who is Kiwi? I don't. Why do I not remember that?
Alan Funk. Come on, you had to remember Alan Funk. His Kiwi's hair was like up
see.
Here.
Let me look at Kiwi.
And spiked and.
Let me find a picture of Kiwi.
His hair was like 2 feet tall in the air and spiked and glittery and all that.
I'm going to be honest with you, Charmel. Toward the end of WCW,
you stopped watching.
It was kind of hard to watch. A lot of that WCW at the end was hard to watch. And I guess that's when the revolving door
correct.
Of everybody started coming in.
We didn't know who was in charge. And
WCW.
Booker and I were ride or die WCW, I'm telling you.
Yeah, y'all were there to the very end. When did you meet Booker in WCW?
Okay, so this is really funny and embarrassing. I'm not sure when I met Booker. Because, like I said, I never watched wrestling before. And my first show, I met either Booker or Stevie.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure which one I met. Because one of them was injured. And it may have been Booker who was injured. And so when whoever was injured came back to WCW, I kind of like did a double take. Because I'm like, wait, are there two of them? Is that the same person? Like, what's going on? I was
twins?
Very confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure.
Because maybe not today, but back in the day, they both had the same, Booker and Stevie had the same kind of haircut. Booker didn't have his, dreads yet,
Right.
And,
right.
You could get them confused. They're about the same size, Stevie a little bigger.
And then, when you're just kind of passing somebody in the hallway, you're not really sizing them up. You don't know. So
when you're passing somebody in like a unitard that has flames on it.
Yeah, you could mistake Booker for Stevie when you don't know them. So I think that's what happened. But I guess I met him. The end of 98.
The end of 98. And when did y'all start dating when y'all were in WCW?
No, actually, it wasn't until after I was, because I was released from WCW. They kind of got rid of most of the girls towards the end there. And it wasn't until after that we started dating. We started really getting to know each other when we filmed the movie Ready to Rumble.
Okay.
Because before.
Oh, I love that movie.
I love that movie, too.
A lot of people have some negative things to say about Ready to Rumble. I love that film.
I love it.
For a wrestling fan at the peak of wrestling, to go see a movie with wrestlers in it.
Yeah.
Booker was in it. We joke about it. He has like one line, like, hey, what's up, or whatever it is. And just, but that was that was a big deal also for like wrestling to get like a shot,
right?
In a motion, a big motion picture.
It was huge.
And you choreographed.
I choreographed it. I went out early to work with Rose McGowan on the choreography. So it was awesome.
Was it a fun experience? The whole movie, like,
are you kidding me? It was amazing.
That's another thing. Did you ever think like, oh, I'm gonna choreograph a movie one day?
Well, I never thought any of that. But what's funny is one of my really good friends from college came to a wrestling show. Obviously this was years later after we graduated. And she told me, I do not remember this, but she told me, she was like, well, you always used to say you knew you would be famous and doing all this stuff because when we were in college, you used to practice writing your signature, like writing your autograph. I'm like, was I that big of a, a-hole that I was practicing?
Was I that full of myself?
Practicing my autograph, but so. I guess it was in the back of my mind somewhere that I would be doing it.
So there you are. You're choreographing Ready to Rumble. So how do you and Booker interact on this movie?
Well, we filmed that movie, I guess, over a 3-month time period.
Yeah.
So we were literally flying to wherever, you know, the Monday night and the Tuesday night shows were, and then flying right back to LA for Wednesday through Sunday filming. So basically we were together, everybody, you know, we were all together for like 3 months straight. And that's where a lot of our friendships really bonded. That's why, you know, all of the Nitro girls were in my wedding. Yeah. Because you're stuck with somebody for three months.
You're going to grow close to him.
You're going
to
grow really, really close. And so that's when I really got to know Booker as a person. Mm-hmm. For those people who don't really know Booker, you know, he's really, really silly. But in a professional situation, he is extremely professional. So yeah. When we were only doing the wrestling shows, we never really spoke. It was just, good morning, how are you?
Yeah.
Then we go to work. That was that. But yeah, but at the movie, we really got to know each other, really got to talk to each other.
And Booker's a funny guy.
He is hilarious. I tell him all the time. Funny. When I, you know, before we filmed the movie, I thought, I'm like, man, this guy. You know, because he was always in a suit and a tie. And I'm like, I know he listens to Frank Sinatra. Just like, whatever. And then when we were on the set of the movie, you know, after we broke or whatever, and he was driving off the lot in his car, and he was blasting Tupac. And I was like, what?
Whoa, yeah. Didn't expect that one.
Did not see that coming. Yeah.
Hey, don't judge a man by the suit that he wears.
I guess not.
But by the music he listens
that's
to.
That's right. That's
but that's when you finally meet Booker. And,
yeah.
And so you get released from WCW, and y'all aren't dating at this point.
No, we just kind of kept in touch. And then, you know how sometimes they say, I think the phrase is separation makes the heart grow fonder or whatever it is. But I really started to realize, I'm like, hey, I really miss this guy. You know what I mean? Like, I miss seeing him. I miss talking, laughing, the whole nine. And it just kind of grew from there. We stayed in touch. We kept in touch. I eventually got hired by, he was already hired by WWE.
Yeah.
But I eventually got hired by WWE, and I was in training at OVW. With, okay, let me start name calling.
Okay,
now.
Yeah, because you were probably in a good class back then.
Yeah.
You went to WWE in what, 2001, 2002?
2001. And when I walk in, I see, and of course you don't know these people are going to be, you know, the superstars that they, but when I walk in, I see Batista, I see John Cena, I see Shelton Benjamin, I see Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar.
Lesnar was there.
I'm like, I am in the wrong place, especially, you know, when you see Batista and Brock, these huge guys. I'm like, what am I doing here? And there was only one other girl there, Lisa Marie, which we know as Victoria.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was frightened.
You were in a great class, though.
I was in a really, really good
class.
That
might be the best developmental class of all time
right
there.
I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was amazing.
See, we saw three WWE champions in the same class.
Phenomenal.
Jeez.
You can't ask for more, I'm telling you.
How was it down at OVW?
It was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard work. I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Did WWE sign you to be a wrestler? Is that what they wanted you to do, or they wanted you to be valet?
I think they maybe didn't know.
Yeah.
But
they knew they wanted you.
Yeah, fortunately.
That's nice.
So because when I first got hired, I was hired as an interviewer.
Oh.
Yeah, hey. So I was doing
we all
got
to start somewhere.
Exactly. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I was doing that, and I think that they were just trying to see if I could fit somewhere in the company.
Well, that's cool. So you went down to OVW. You make it through OVW, finally, right? How long were you down there?
Well, here's the thing. So I was wrestling Shelton Benjamin, and not his fault, but you know, I landed wrong when I did leapfrog over him and tore like absolutely everything in my knee. And so I was released from WWE shortly after that, like after I had my surgery and rehabbed and everything.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of was the end. But they brought me in a few times, again, to do some more interviewing. Again, my timelines tend to be off. But they hired me back after I married Booker, and we, you know, they saw how well we worked together on camera.
And you married Booker in 2000 and, let's get your years right here.
Okay, this
you
one
got,
I know.
This one you gotta know.
I know this. I married him February 5th, 2005.
2005.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and then you were released from WWE in 2000 what?
Probably around 2003.
2003.
Maybe. Yeah.
And then y'all get married. Y'all were dating at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
And so then y'all got married 3 years. How long were y'all dating for? 3 or 4 years?
Wow. We probably about 3 years.
About three. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So about 3 years later.
Yeah.
Get married. 2005. WWE gives you the call. Hey, Charmel, we want you back. And then it was like, what, you know, maybe like a couple years later, that's when King Booker came out.
Right, yeah.
And this is your probably most prominent role in the in WWE. You were Queen Charmel.
Yes.
Which was a natural fit.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You're a beauty queen already. I remember going to my, I think it was my first ever live WWE show. It was a house show here in Houston. And Booker was working Rey Mysterio. For okay. the world title.
I remember that one.
And I think you and William Regal came out to the ring with Booker saying, all hail King Booker.
Yes.
And the whole building wanted to kill the both of you.
Yes, absolutely.
Because y'all would not stop saying.
I loved being so very annoying.
All hail King Booker.
Yes.
You liked being a heel? You liked being a bad guy?
I did. I didn't think I would like it. It took me a little getting used to.
Yeah.
Because when
you
people
don't,
started.
You don't seem like a mean person.
Yeah. And then when people started booing me, I'm like, what? Why? You know, yeah. I wanted to break down in tears, but. That only lasted like a week because I started to love it. I started to want to make them boo even more.
Yeah.
So, man, I just try to think of all the little heelish things I could do. You know what I mean? So it was, I love being a heel.
Did you like go back and study any old bad guys, or did you just kind of just on the job training and just try
to? It really was on the job training because for me, the King Booker, Queen Charmel thing started gaining momentum so quickly. Until I really didn't have a whole lot of time, you know, and then we're on the road so much with house shows and then the televised shows. So I really didn't have a lot of time to do too much studying, but I wanted it really to be organic. So I'm like, what would a heel queen do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what would she do? How would she act? And here's, again, where the acting comes into play. So I just kind of did what felt right.
I got to give it up to you and Booker because y'all were definitely characters and y'all like never broke character until someone made Booker mad and then he reverted.
He
get back to Booker T.
Yeah.
But so y'all were doing that all the way kind of through 2006, 7.
Probably
I remember
2007. Yeah.
All the way through 2007 and then you go to TNA.
Yeah.
You don't say that with the greatest.
Well, I mean, that was Booker's decision. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been in wrestling obviously far longer than I have, and
like almost 25 years or something like that.
And so I take his advice. He really was saying that he just needed a break.
Yeah,
that's another thing that a lot of fans don't realize. The schedule really is brutal. It's a brutal schedule. Well worth it, but it's really hard on the body, hard on the mind. And Booker just needed a break.
Yeah, and I mean, and you got to think like around that time is when like all like the big names from WCW like Eddie Guerrero and Chris started, you know, they started to pass away, and like I'm sure that's
and
like,
that had an effect on them.
I'm sure it had an effect on a lot of people, especially Booker. You know, they're all like kind of the same class of the WCW guys who went to WWE.
Absolutely.
And so yeah, I would definitely think you would need a break after
that. Yeah,
and
he did. He really did. So I didn't realize it, you know, but in hindsight, it was a good thing for us personally.
Yeah, to kind of take that break. And
yeah.
So you went to TNA. And mm-hmm. and I remember Booker was still kind of King Booker in TNA.
Yeah.
But I remember like his first couple
King
promos.
King Booker-ish.
He was King Booker-ish.
Yeah.
And what do you remember about your time? I remember seeing you wrestle in TNA too. Didn't you wrestle?
Yeah, I had a few matches in TNA.
Who'd you work in TNA?
Well, the one match that's heard around the world is when I wrestled Jenna, which I and she won, what was it, Survivor?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was one of the Survivor winners, and I kind of did what I was told, but I just wasn't really too keen on having the match because I am not the most experienced wrestler.
Yeah.
And she had maybe only been in the ring like literally two times, maybe three. Mm. So we can imagine, you know, what that match was like.
Yeah.
I had a few, I think I had a tag match. I know I worked, worked with Tracy and, I don't know if I had any other matches. I did a little bit of work with Kong.
Okay. Who will be at the next reality of wrestling show.
Who will be at our next reality of wrestling show. Yeah.
Cheap plug.
Right.
Okay, so we'll move away from TNA. And, but I do believe, your match with Jenna was named the worst work
ever.
Match.
Yeah. Ever. Yes.
That's a kind of an honor in a way.
Hey, but you know what? I'm proud of it because to me, it lets people know that they can't just sit on the couch and then get up and wrestle. You know how people always want to criticize and say, oh, I can do that. Okay, try it.
Yeah.
Well, when you try it, this is what happens.
Exactly, exactly. It's one of those things like, you know, you're sitting on the couch complaining. Well, get in the ring.
Exactly.
Or get on the court. Try to figure it out.
Yeah.
So you leave TNA. Mm-hmm. Book goes back to WWE. And you know, returns at the Royal Rumble,
right?
With Kevin Nash,
yes,
both at the same time,
yeah.
Which, by the way, Kevin Nash is probably my favorite person I've met.
Is he not amazing?
In the entire world.
I love Kevin. He's so intelligent, so witty. You know, I mean, I love him.
Super funny guy.
Yeah.
Super funny guy. Like, on our drive back to the airport, man, he had me cracking up laughing the whole time.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Great guy. But anyway, so Book makes his return, but you don't go back to WWE, do you?
No, because literally 1 month after we retired from TNA, I got pregnant with the twins. So it was a wrap for me.
Yeah, so in-ring career is pretty much over at that point.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't really want to go back after that.
No.
But you have the twins, which you have the two greatest, cutest little twins ever.
And they love their little Uncle Brad.
It was nice to see them the other day. They were cracking me up. But, you know, Booker back in like 2005 or 6 started his wrestling school, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then, you know, this is the PWA period we're starting to get into, right?
Right. Pro Wrestling Alliance.
Pro Wrestling Alliance. Mm-hmm. See, I always thought, you know what I always thought PWA was? I thought it was Pasadena Wrestling Association.
Are you serious?
That's what
can see that, because we were at the Pasadena Convention Center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And y'all were associating, I don't know. Anyway, but, but okay, so you're doing PWA.
Mm-hmm.
When did the first PWA show happen?
December. December of that year.
It was
Christmas Chaos, right.
One. And and how was it? Like, you know, now you're getting into, like, you know, now you're getting your Vince McMahon shoes on in a way, you know, and promoting, you know, and putting on shows.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was very different because you're wearing a different hat.
Yeah.
You know, we always wanted to do something like this because we love the business. Now, obviously, you know, we learned a lot from Vince McMahon, and we know for sure that we're not trying to compete with him, because we can't. No. There's no way.
No one can compete with Vince.
Yeah, so, I mean, no. So yeah. Hopefully if we could provide some people, you know, to the WWE, even be a feeder school, that would be awesome. But my husband has such a love for this business,
yeah.
So he really wanted to train the next generation of superstars and then give them a platform, you know, to be able to go out there and wrestle in front of people, build a fan base here in the city, you know, see where it can take them. So that's how it started, and we've been going strong for 8 years now. The name, but yeah,
we've been going strong. Reality of Wrestling.
That's right.
And I remember coming into Reality of Wrestling November of 2012.
Has it been that long, Brad?
Yeah, it was like the end of 2012 going into 13. Yeah.
Wow.
So
you've watched us grow.
I've seen it. I've seen it. You know, I've told a funny story because I saw Booker like send out a tweet, you know, and you know, Booker, I think, rarely, you know, tweeted at the time.
Yeah.
But I did see a tweet from Booker T some kind of way. I don't even know if I was following him or not. I just saw it, you know, because I've always been a wrestling fan. And it said, you know, looking for new commentary position or something, da 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 da. And I was like, you know, I've been doing some radio here. I think I could maybe, that'd be fun to do, right? And I threw my name in the hat, never thought I'd ever hear anything. A month and a half later goes, I get like a call, and you know, hey, you want to come down to Booker School to try out?
So who called you? Because see, I don't even know this story.
Paul. Paul
okay,
Cook called
okay,
me.
Okay, all right.
And I mean, because it called from a California number, and I remember my band was about to go in to do an interview, this video interview. I literally get a call right as I'm walking in the door to do this interview, and he was like, you know, hey, you know, we want to come down to the school. And I'm like, whoa. I did not expect any of that, right?
Yeah.
And so I think this was like a Thursday night. He wanted me to come in that Tuesday.
Okay.
So I'm so excited to get this call. Been a wrestling fan all my life. And I wake up, though, that Sunday morning. And I've talked about this on the show before. I woke up and all of a sudden I couldn't move half of my face.
What?
Yeah, I woke up and I couldn't move it. I could feel it, couldn't move it though. It was so scary, right? I go in the mirror, I'm trying to blink, and I can't. It was really funny because
I'm trying not to laugh.
I was going like that, you know, and I couldn't do it. And craziest thing, so I went to the doctor that Monday morning, and I had it's called Bell's palsy, the same thing Jim Ross had, Jim Ross. Is where, you know, half my face, I just couldn't move it, and you know what the worst part of it is? There's two things that I hated about it. Was half of my tongue also goes, so you can't taste anything on half of your tongue.
Wow.
So everything tasted terrible, and then I had to sleep with an eye patch on because they don't want you to scratch your eye. So I just looked insane, and this is like toward the end of October. So I just looked insane, and I did think that my Halloween costume was set for that year. I could be Two-Face. I was pretty happy about that. that's pretty cool with that. But yeah, so so here I go. Monday I get the diagnosis, and Tuesday I got to go in to meet Booker T for the first time and have this interview. But the first time Booker wasn't there, and I come back on the Thursday, and I remember walking in the room, and I'm sitting there, and we're about as far as we are from now, and he's talking to me, and I'm just in my head, I'm like, oh my God, don't blink, Brad. You're going to look so stupid. You're going to look so stupid. And then that's how I blinked. I'd have to like squeeze every
that's
muscle.
That's not funny.
It's not. It was funny though. It's funny in retrospect, looking back at it. And then I remember Kevin Bernhard, friend of the show and obviously a great guy. He calls me aside after the whole meeting with Booker. Here I am. I'm meeting Booker T, world, 5-time WCW champion, someone I've cheered for and booed all my life.
Right.
And then Kevin calls me aside. He's like, hey, hey man, do you have Tourette's or something? I'm like, no, I have this thing with the face.
Kevin really? Oh my God!
And here I didn't know Kevin from Peter. What I mean?
Right.
And but yeah, it was funny. It was funny. And then I think 3 days later, I'm walking through the curtain for the first time.
Wow.
Going to do ring announcing, and I didn't know what I was doing, but y'all kept me around, thankfully.
Absolutely. We know talent when we see it.
Oh, well, thank you, Charmelle. Look at that. Look at that. But now we're doing reality wrestling.
Yes.
And it's been 3 weeks now. We've been on the Cube.
Right.
How was it to close that deal? I remember Booker calling me, the minute that y'all signed and you left the office. But how was it going to the Cube's office to sign a deal for reality of wrestling to be on TV?
You know, it's crazy because that's another thing that just happened all of a sudden. Don't get me wrong. We've put the years, like I said, we've been doing this for 8 years. We've put the years of work in, and we've been wanting to get and wanting to get and wanting to get television. And to be quite honest, I don't even know how it happened. I just know Booker literally was talking about, maybe we're going to be on the Cube 1 week. And then the next week we were on our way to sign a contract. It just was that fast.
Yeah.
But we were so excited. I think I put a picture out on Instagram that just said on our way. And I didn't say, what it was for, but we were so excited. We couldn't believe it. We're like, this is finally happening.
Yeah. It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember getting the call and being like, what? I'm going to be on TV. Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to jack my price up for hosting gigs.
Right.
No. In all seriousness, though, I remember being really excited about it, especially, though, to see reality wrestling go from, I think literally the month before, we had it was a great show, mm-hmm. but not a great audience.
Right.
It was like maybe 70, maybe even that, maybe like 65 people.
Yeah, in the audience.
And you can see it on the shows on YouTube.
When
they cut back to like the old shows, you're like, wow, there's like 25 people sitting right there.
Right.
And then the very next month, that was like our November show. And then the next month, Christmas Chaos, it was like a full house. And we're like, whoa, And then
January was standing room only.
How did that make you feel though for the first television taping for, we sold out of seats. We had to sell you places to stand.
And I'm telling you what, first of all, it's a sense of pride.
Yeah.
You see that all your hard work was worth it. And when you have the naysayers that are like, why don't you just shut this down? Particularly like our accountant, it was nice. And then secondly, from a my pocketbook standpoint, because we have poured tens of thousands of dollars into this organization, we weren't making any money. But my husband loves it. And, and I support him. So it just was really, I think I might have shed a tear
that night when
we had standing room only. But then it made me, get back to basics and work even harder, because you want to make the experience from start to finish. You want to make it amazing for the crowd. Now, we already had an amazing show.
Yeah.
But then, you have to go into the logistics. Well, we have standing room only. Well, we got to get more chairs. We got to this, that, and the other. So I went into double time work.
You
went
into boss mode because show.
I was everywhere.
You
was
were
I
everywhere.
Not? Yeah.
You were everywhere. We had a new configuration of chair. Yeah. Sold out the house again.
Sold out the house again.
Just to put that out there.
Right.
Sold out again.
So you want to purchase online so that you're not standing, okay?
Yeah,
go to
realityofwrestling.com, purchase
right.
your tickets in advance. We're going to have Awesome Kong at the next show.
Yes.
Karma from the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a pretty good big deal right there.
Did you see that story that Karma told?
Uh-uh.
This is probably funnier than any James Brown stories.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm here.
But we were overseas somewhere, and there was an heir to a very, very large corporation. I'm not going to say which corporation. So there was an heir to this very large corporation. who was staying at the same hotel where we were staying. Well, you know, we all kind of hang out at the bar after the show. Yeah. So we were at the bar, and I don't know where Booker was. Luckily, Booker was not in the area because there would have been an issue. But this heir, let's just call him Jim.
Okay, Jim.
So Jim comes and passes by me and brushes up against my leg and says something kind of crude to me.
Oh.
So I just looked, you know, I didn't say a word. I just kind of ignored him because he was slightly inebriated. Mm-hmm. But Kong and a few of the other guys were very, very upset about it, to say the least. So they went to the front desk, and I don't know what they said to be able to tell the front desk to give them this guy's room number, but they went and they proceeded to defecate and urinate and all kind of stuff in like this bucket, and they put the bucket, somehow they propped it above the guy's door and knocked on the door and ran, and it came and it.
Oh.
So I was like, well, thanks for defending my honor. Kind of gross, but.
A little gross.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the alternative of Booker getting a hold of that guy, I guess,
yeah.
is, you know.
I think he got the better end of that
deal.
Yeah,
he got the better end of the deal.
Yeah. Who would think that a bucket of, you know, urine and fecal matter
yeah.
was the better end
so
of the deal?
So let me tell you, Kong is ride or die. That's my girl forever and ever. Yes.
Hey, I want to get another couple stories in before we leave, because we're okay. about to have to wrap this up.
Okay.
You actually competed at WrestleMania.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
WrestleMania 30 is upon us. Yeah, what, it was WrestleMania 22?
Now, please don't ask me which one.
I think it's 22.
But let me tell you, that was so amazing. Brad, I don't know if you can just even understand the energy that was in that room that day.
Do you remember where it was? Give me something here.
Come on now. I remember my outfit, and I remember...
hey, that's all you can ask for sometimes.
Well, I was...
WrestleMania 22.
22, okay.
In Chicago. Right?
Right next to my hometown. Yes. Uh-huh.
Rosemont, Illinois.
Yes. Chicago is like 30 minutes from my hometown.
And Booker was on the promo poster.
But let me tell you what was so amazing about that.
With John Cena. Look at that.
Sweet.
I didn't know that. Okay, continue.
When we got to the top of the ramp, you know, because I was so amped up and the energy was so amazing, I wanted to like hurry up and rush down the ramp. So you can see Booker grab me. He like grabs my arm. And he's like, wait a minute. He said, just stop and take it all in. And so I stopped and I just looked around, because there had to have been, what, 68,000 people there? 70,000 people?
I'll tell you. Let's see.
85?
I don't know. Okay, I can't find it. I can't
okay,
find
well,
it.
Okay, well, how many ever? A lot of people.
Yeah.
So I just did. I did. I stopped. I stood there and I looked around. And that energy, I mean, nothing can compare. I'm telling you, nothing can compare. And like we've said, I've toured with legendary James yeah. Brown. That's bananas.
Yeah.
But nothing can compare to the energy from a WrestleMania crowd.
Wow.
I mean, I still have goosebumps. It was so amazing.
Man, that must have been cool.
It
just
was.
Just WrestleMania, you know. And I heard Booker's told me y'all going to all go down to WrestleMania 30 this year.
Yeah.
Pack up the kids. Yeah.
Get in the RV and drive on down there.
To New Orleans.
That's right.
I want to get one more thing from you.
Okay.
Tell me, what is one of your favorite experiences like on the road? What's a good road? Do you have a good road story with all the boys in wrestling? I know you, Booker, and Kevin were sharing stories the other day.
Again, to protect the innocent, I can't really tell many of them.
What about the thing with Kevin and the jacket in the ring? You're talking about his coat.
Oh my gosh. So Kevin, which I'm going to have to go back and post a picture of this on Instagram, because Kevin, I didn't call him out at the dinner table, but he's had this sports jacket ever since WCW. So we're in TNA, which is what, 2008-ish, 7-ish?
Yeah, 2008-9.
And Kevin is in the ring with this sports jacket, which is blue, mm-hmm. and he has on some black pants. So we're main event mafia. We're supposed to be the tough guys. So somebody in the audience is heckling Kevin, and he says, yeah, Kevin Nash, your jacket doesn't even match your pants. Get a new suit. And Kevin completely breaks character and turns around and shouts, it's a sports coat, you jackass. It's not supposed to match. And it took all my strength not to fall out, because Kevin was hot.
Yeah.
You could tell
mad.
He was pissed off about that.
Oh, yeah. Great times, huh?
Yeah. I've never seen Kevin Nash break character, but yeah.
What a life you've had, though.
And I've had an amazing life.
And there's so many more years ahead.
Yes.
And let me ask you this. If your twins one day come to mom and dad and say, we want to get in the wrestling business? Mm-hmm. Are you going to let them get in the wrestling business?
After I burst into tears, yes, I absolutely will.
Yeah.
I believe in letting them follow their dreams.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
You're understanding, mother.
Yes.
You want
because I know what I did to my parents with the math degree and then the dancing and wrestling. So, yeah.
Who would ever think the valedictorian of Roosevelt High School in Gary, Indiana,
yeah,
would, one, compete at WrestleMania,
yeah,
tour with James Brown,
yeah,
win Miss Black America.
And it's so crazy,
and
right?
Then be the mother of two twins.
I know, and they're so amazing.
And they're great. Great little kids. Wow. Well, Charmel.
Okay, one last thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Listen, I need everybody to stay tuned, whether you're on following Booker on Twitter or you're going to realityofwrestling.com. We have a major, major announcement, Brad. I don't even know if you know this.
Oh, wow.
But we have a major announcement coming soon. ROW is really moving up.
Wow, now I'm excited.
Yeah.
Now I'm excited. Well, you can follow Charmel on Instagram and Twitter at RealCharmel.
Yep.
And you're on Facebook, too.
I am.
So go to realitywrestling.com.
Right.
The next
buy your
show
tickets, March 8th.
Is March the 8th, and we're going to be there. Awesome Kong will be in action at Reality of Wrestling, so y'all need to come out.
What about 2011? When are we going to have a performance?
This is coming, Charmel.
Okay, all right.
You'll be the first to know.
Okay,
I promise.
Good.
All right, so thank you so much. Charmel Huffman here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Bye.